it's a Friday night now. Here we go. Everybody's
working for the weekend. I'm working it, baby. I'm working. It's Friday night.
It's been a long, long week, huh? How you doing, South Jersey? It's WPG, Talk Radio 1450. My name is Mel Taylor. So proud to be back on the air with you, spending Friday afternoons with you. Big show today on the world-famous Mel Taylor Show at 3:20. Some guy from Vegas, he's the director, the Center for Gaming Research, David Schwartz, a new book called The Boardwalk Playground, The Making, Unmaking, and Remaking of Atlantic City. He'll come up at 3:20, David Schwartz, PhD. At 4 o'clock, you know that Mary Lee, that great white shark? She's been spotted back in town near Barnegat. We got to check in with an expert. That expert is Joe Jaws. And at 5 o'clock, she's encouraging women to get into politics, following in the footsteps of Christy Todd Whitman, Sarah Palin, Carly Fiorina, Geraldine Ferrara, Angela Merkel. We're talking about Brenda Taube from Margate. Kind of reading the description here on the website about Boardwalk Playground, an emphasis on the hospitality business that evolved into casino gaming, and it's evolving again with sections on the system, well, the history of the city, its classic hospitality, personalities, community institutions, and casino resorts. The book, Boardwalk Playground, essential reading for anyone who wants to know what gives Atlantic City its unexpected allure. So I figured I would reach out to the author, and I wanted to talk about the book, but I also wanted to find out, who is Dave Schwartz? How did you get started? How did you get fired up about Atlantic City? Quick backgrounder on Dave Schwartz right now.
Sure. I'm just a guy who grew up in Atlantic City, went to Atlantic City High School, worked in a couple of casinos doing a couple of things, spent one summer as Mr. Peanut out in the boards in front of the traffic. Everybody remembers the Peanut Shop and the Leo and the old Peanut Shop there, so a lot of fun there. I went off to school and decided to go off to grad school and study history, and it became time for me to write a dissertation, which is basically a book. And I said, it's kind of interesting how casinos evolved. So I wrote a book called Suburban Xanadu about how casinos evolved in Vegas and moved around, and ended up getting the job out here in Las Vegas.
So how did you become interested in gaming research, and what is gaming research?
I think, again, the interest in gaming research comes from growing up in Atlantic City, from working in casinos, and trying to help people understand on the academic side what that's like. And at UNLV, the center that I run collects a lot of information about gambling. We just got an article that was written back in 1820 by a mathematician named Charles Babbage, who's very famous mathematician, explaining some of the foundations of game theory and that kind of thing, all the way up to all the gaming statistics that are coming out today. So you collect a lot of information. We have folks come in from all around the world to study gambling, and we help them with their research.
And do you do this research, and do you parse and analyze this research to help communities figure out how it will affect, in a good and a bad way, their community?
Yeah, that's one of the uses that I hope people use. I, obviously, being from Atlantic City, that's something that is very important to me. And I've got a lot of good Atlantic City material out there that people can definitely use to try to figure out which way it's going.
Well, you're smack dab in the middle of a town that was really struggling right after the rise and the fall of Elvis. You know, back in the 70s, people would say, Vegas, what's up with that? But they figured out how to turn things around. Do you feel good about Atlantic City possibly learning from what the folks in Vegas did in the 70s and 80s to take that great town out of its doldrums?
I think Atlantic City has to go in a totally different direction. What Las Vegas did, okay, back in the 70s and 80s, Las Vegas had 30 million people, 40 million people in the state of California. And that was a captive audience. There was no place near them they could gamble. And that's what they did back then in the 80s to reinvent themselves. They focused more on the gambling and a little bit in the entertainment. 2000, when the California Indian casinos really took off, they started to focus even less on gambling and more on the entertainment and all that other fun stuff. And I think that's about where Atlantic City is today, because there's tons of places to gamble. You know, for 20 years, 30 years, all the people in the casinos in Atlantic City could afford to be kind of lazy, because if people wanted to play quarter slot machines, Atlantic City was the closest place. They weren't going to fly to Vegas just to do that. That's gone now, and that's never going to come back. So you're never going to get that crowd back. So I think they have to move in a different direction.
We're going to talk about your book in just a minute, but I also see here that you spend some time contributing to a great local magazine. I'm not sure if it's local, but Casino Connection?
Yeah. And that really is where the idea from the book came from, because Roger Gross, who publishes Casino Connection, reached out to me, and it started out as a magazine that was in the employee cafeterias in the casinos. And said, do you want to write something? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And it's just started out as articles about Atlantic City history, nothing directly to do with gambling or casinos, just about a really interesting history. And my mentality when I was writing it was, hey, if I had 20 minutes to sit next to somebody in the cafeteria and talk about something really cool that I think is really cool, what would I say? So that's how I got into doing the research and writing those articles.
And where is Casino Connection based out of today?
Now it's still based out of Atlantic City, but it's become an internet publication. It's no longer physically in print.
It's like a Financial Times or the Wall Street Journal of the gaming and the casino industry, huh?
Yeah, you know, you've got that. You also have Global Gaming Business and iGaming Player. So Roger definitely has a lot of different websites and publications that I think will give you a really good idea of what's going on in the industry, not just in Atlantic City, but all over the world.
So this guy, Dr. Jonathan Pitney, most people should know who Mr. Pitney is, but they don't, do they?
Yeah, you know, we know about Pitney Village, so we know it from that, and we know the name from being around, but he was really an interesting guy and the kind of guy that you used to see a lot of in Atlantic City, in that people thought he was kind of nuts. He had this crazy idea, which was that he was going to build a health resort on this desolate island with dunes and scrubby trees and a lot of mosquitoes, and was going to build a health resort and get rich people to come down to what was then Absecon Island or Beach Island or Absecon Beach just to bask in the ocean air. And in the end, he was actually right.
And when the ability of dealing with the Camden-Absecon Railroad line, once that railroad started to get built and there was dueling railroads, I understand, that's when Atlantic City really went to the next level?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Again, this is stuff that I learned researching the book. So first they had the one railroad, and that was kind of okay. They got some people, but it was still pretty expensive. And the railroad at first didn't even have windows, so you had to put a coat on over your clothes, otherwise you'd get covered in soot. But amazingly, Atlantic City's lure was so strong that people still persevered and took that ride, and it was about a 2.5-hour ride. Then there's competition, you know, just what they talk about today. Competition, different people coming in. They had two and then three railroads. The price dropped, and average people in Philadelphia and New York found that they could go down to Atlantic City, have a good vacation, not totally break the bank, and just get away from it for a while.
And Philadelphia was the prime target market for Atlantic City 100 and so years ago?
Yeah, first it was exclusively Philadelphia, then they broadened it to include New York and then D.C. But by the 1890s and the 1880s even, people were coming to Atlantic City from all over the country.
We're talking to Dave Schwartz, and he has a brand new book out called Boardwalk Playground, The Making, Unmaking, and Remaking of Atlantic City. Go up to Amazon.com and buy that thing. Bookstores also carrying it as well. Now, this whole idea of build it and they will come, you get the railroad in there, and it's hard to believe that it really hasn't been around for that long, Atlantic City, quite frankly. But once you put a railroad in there, all of a sudden, people don't think that they have to get passage on one of these large ships and sail all the way down to Cape May, which at that point in time was the primary competitor to this new thing called Atlantic City. Right, Dave Schwartz?
Yeah, it all comes down to access. People could get here easily. It was convenient. Everything was set up for them, so it was convenient. and they could have fun. And I think that's something that was probably lost in Atlantic City a while back. It came down to the bean counters just saying, how much money can we squeeze out of the people coming here? You know, $3 for parking, $5 for parking, $20 for parking if the convention is town, is in town. And that's not what built Atlantic City. What built Atlantic City was, okay, this is a city that you can come to and have a good time.
And if there was a particular period of time or a law that was passed that really boosted the upside of Atlantic City, it has to be prohibition, right?
Yeah, prohibition's another thing where people in Atlantic City took advantage of that. Most cities cracked down on it, although obviously not totally because there was a lot of bootlegging. But let's say some of the people in Atlantic City who were elected officials found it convenient to turn a blind eye to that sort of thing. And the result of that was that people really enjoyed coming here and drinking, which was good for them.
And that made Nucky Johnson, who eventually, many years later, he went to jail, but he had a couple of great decades, Mr. Johnson, didn't he?
Yeah, Nucky's one of these fascinating characters that I was really eager to get into in the book because, obviously, with the Boardwalk Empire, we've all heard the stories and the fictional version, and I found that the real-life version was even more interesting. So just a fascinating character, kind of person who could really not put Atlantic City on the map, but keep it on the map and keep people coming.
And then much like, I guess, the Maurys and the Cantanusos of today are building these big, giant amusement empires, way back in the day, his name was Captain John Young. He decided to do something that was more family friendly, creating this amusement empire. And I think it was called, Million Dollar Pier or Young's Pier?
Well, there was Young's, there was Ocean Pier, there was Million Dollar Pier and Steel Pier. Those are some of the biggest ones. But the thing that should strike us today is that these were built on the same model as a three-ring circus, which is something for everyone. So you've got on the amusement pier, you've got games for the kids, for the families. You've got all the funny animal acts, which again might appeal to families. And then you've got legitimate singers, legitimate entertainment, later on movies, also convention stuff, exposition. So they build these places with something for everyone, not just focusing on one group.
Now there are a new crop of entrepreneurs with money, deep pockets, crazy ideas, and you got to have a crazy idea, kind of like Mr. Pitney back in the day. But I refer to whether it's Glenn Straub of Revel or the folks over there at the Endeavor Group taking over the Atlantic Club, hopefully, and putting a water park in there, or the gentleman from Florida who wants to put a polar coaster or a vertical roller coaster on the site of the former Sands. This is like Mr. Pitney all over again, right? And right now, Atlantic City may or may not want to help these guys to do this. It seems like there's a lot of obstacles in front of these new semi-crazy entrepreneurs. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, and there are a lot of obstacles, and you've got to look at this two ways. You know, first of all, a lot of the ideas that made Atlantic City big were, on the face of it, were stupid ideas. A diving horse. Who is going to pay to see a horse dive? And yet that was this big iconic thing. And I don't want to say bring that back because then the animal rights people are going to get upset, that kind of stuff. The idea of having a bunch of women, young women come together and parade them around in swimsuits. And that became the Miss America pageant. Again, it seemed today people would say, that's a terrible idea, don't do it. But it worked at that time.
And then it wasn't until the late 70s when Brendan Byrne said, yep, it's cool to have a gaming city here in Atlantic City.
Yeah, and you know, the first time they had a referendum on gambling in New Jersey, the voters said no. And everybody thought, well, that's it. Close the doors. Never going to happen. 2 years later, another referendum, they got a yes. And to me, that shows the resiliency of Atlantic City and the people of Atlantic City, where they're not going to take no for an answer, and they're going to keep on trying until something works. And that's the other thing. You try a lot of ideas, and not all of them work. It's not the end of the world if one doesn't, because you have 10 more ideas. And also, to put this into context, the first real proposal to legalize casinos in Atlantic City came all the way back in 1936. So it took 40 years to make this happen, which is incredible. And yeah, it did work for about 30 years, and now it's not the same boon to tourism that it was, back in the 90s when there wasn't as much competition. So I think it's time to switch and do something else.
Well, somebody who wins the Perseverance Award in my book has to be the guy that would not give up, the guy that would not stop thinking about that H-tract over there, the former dump where Borgata is right now and Golden Nugget and Harris.
Well, Trump was actually one of the people who was trying to block that because that was when he was fighting with Steve Wynn and Wynn wanted it. So originally he was blocking it, but I think that's actually ended up helping the casino there that he doesn't own anymore, which is now the Golden Nugget. So and that's kind of another example of what happens. You have at one time in the 80s, you know, Steve Wynn was the king of the city, then Donald Trump supplanted him, and now it's probably more the corporations. I think that's something that's always shifting the people who think that they're going to have the vision.
You know that the Army Corps of Engineers are pile driving and preparing for the elongation of the boardwalk along the inlet section, connecting the Revel area, the oceanfront part of the boardwalk, and moving it all the way around or elongating it. This is a sign that we've hit a bottom and we're bouncing back up and Atlantic City is ready for another bull market?
I think it's a great sign. And a lot of times it's little things like that that do something. So at the depths of the Depression, things are looking bad. People, not as many people were coming. Everybody's out of work. And they started small with a program to put new benches in the boardwalk, repaint things just to freshen it up. And a couple of years later, they have record numbers of people coming. So I think that kind of investment in the infrastructure is going to help. Absolutely.
Is there something that Atlantic City and Atlantic County, is there something that both of those entities are not doing? And if they could just fix that, all of a sudden things would get much better for the city by the sea?
Well, I think make it easier for people to have ideas and do things. You know, don't necessarily put up so much red tape. The problem with Atlantic City, the reason why it is where it is today, is that for 30 years, everybody in the city thought the competition was at the other end of the boardwalk. It was the other people in town, and we can't do that. You know, there's even something I found in the book. It took something like 3 years for a casino to have a wine tasting. And because of the Division of Gaming Enforcement rules, the owner of the vineyard was not allowed to talk to the customers, the people drinking the wine. And it was just incredible the amount of red tape they put up there. That kind of stuff is a fun killer. And if your city is based on hospitality and people having fun, that is going to destroy it because why does somebody who comes to town for a wine tasting in a casino care that there's all these rules about why they can't talk to the vineyard owners? You know, most places would be encouraging that. So you've got to get rid of stuff like that. You've got to give people the chance to try and maybe to fail.
We're talking to Dave Schwartz, PhD, Director, Center for Gaming Research at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. WPG, Talk Radio 1450 here in Atlantic City. I am really kind of interested in seeing how Bally's, how Caesars Entertainment, how they're going to restructure, how they're going to get through this really tough time.
Yeah, you know, the problem is they borrowed a lot of money to take that company private and did it at the exact wrong moment. So it was a little bit too much ambition. But I think this shows the danger in putting all of your eggs in. And if whatever it is, one-third of the casinos are owned by one company, if that company gets into trouble, you're in big trouble. So I think it shows the need for Atlantic City to move beyond just the gaming casinos because, again, the idea that people are going to drive 2 hours to sit in front of a slot machine and press a button for 4 hours and that's what they're going to do, that's not going to really – I don't see that being a viable economy for the city for, you know, over the next 20 years. It's got to be something else. There's got to be something else. And there's so many great things to do around town. You've got to be able to promote that.
It's an amazing new book. It's not a geeky read. It's a fun read. It's called Boardwalk Playground, the making, the unmaking, and the remaking of Atlantic City. We have David Schwartz. We can call him Dave Schwartz. He's a PhD. He's a director. Yeah, I get a little bit formal here. The director, Center for Gaming Research, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. We'll be right back on WPG Talk Radio 1450. WPG Talk Radio 1450. I am Mel Taylor. It's the Mel Taylor Show every Friday afternoon from 3 to 6. Sunny and cool for the remainder of your day. High of 58 today. Not too shabby. Tonight getting down to 40. The weekend mostly sunny. High of 53 tomorrow, your Saturday. Sunday a mixture of sun and clouds. High of 49. Then on Monday heading back to work sunny with a high of 43. It's WPG Talk Radio 1450. You can listen online at WPG1450.com. We have on the air, online right now, matter of fact, on the phone, direct from Las Vegas, he's Dave Schwartz. He's the director, Center for Gaming Research at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And Dave, you have a brand new book out. It's called Boardwalk Playground, The Making, The Unmaking, and The Remaking of Atlantic City. How can people grab a copy of this great new book?
I'm so glad you're asking me that, Mel. It's pretty easy. They can just go online and get a copy on Amazon. You can get a paperback copy. I think it's about $15 or $16, or the Kindle version is less than $5. So it's very accessible to people. And if they want to order it from a bookstore, they can just give them the order information, and they can get it through Baker & Taylor distribution. So it's available everywhere.
And what are your thoughts on the pilot bill veto, the conditional veto, the CRDA, the Atlantic City Alliance, three big organizations and chunks of money that seem to be in transition?
Well, I think it all comes down to having to take a look at the city and what is going to get the city where it needs to be. And I think some of that's going to involve a lot of tough decisions. What we have now isn't working anymore. You know, the idea of building these big air-conditioned buildings for people to come and play slot machines is not the future. So how do you get to the future? And like I said before, anything that opens it up for entrepreneurs to try crazy new ideas, maybe to fail. You know, you don't want to put public money on the line for that, but you just have to lift the obstacles, get rid of the red tape, and make it a place where people want to come and try ideas. So I think a lot of that has to do with New Jersey being friendlier to businesses, place where people can come and start businesses. Some of them might be hospitality, some of them might not. You know, and Atlantic City is such a great place. Climate's pretty good. And to me, there's so many great things about the area. I would think if you had right leadership, it would not be too hard to get people to come there with some new ideas.
Speaking of leadership, do you think that is lacking because the state, little by little, is putting their people deep within the city? Did you ever think that the state would somewhat take over the town?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough thing because, you know that Atlantic City has definitely had some problems in the past, but is the answer to have the state of New Jersey take it over? It's not like the state has been a great administrator everywhere. So I think the solution is going to be trying to find that happy medium and trying to find a way to make it a better city to live in and a better city for people to come and take chances and start businesses that will really help the economy grow and create more jobs.
Now, you're well aware of Chris Palladino and the nonprofit called New Jersey or DevCo. And of course, he's in charge of AC DevCo, the third party nonprofit that's helping, you know, develop and getting people in here without having to deal with RFPs in the city. Are you a big fan of the DevCo and the AC DevCo concept?
Well, yeah, I can talk about the concept. I can't talk about any specifics because I don't follow it that closely, but I think this is the kind of thing you need because other areas are doing this kind of stuff too. I know out here in Nevada, we've been lobbying the Tesla and solar energy people to come and set up, and the governor's been going after them and trying to get them to come in, and it's worked in many cases. So I think you need people who are going to do that, who are going to make the case for Atlantic City as a place to come.
Now, Tillman Fertitta, he is the CEO of the Gold Nugget here in Atlantic City, as well as in Vegas and many other properties. He talks about there's so much gaming revenue that he makes here in Atlantic City, but the cost of doing business is so high. So he literally makes more top-line revenue with Atlantic City Gold Nugget, Mr. Tillman Fertitta. But he takes home less, whereas in Vegas, it just the cost of doing business is better. That's a tough one for guys like Tillman to handle, huh?
It really is, and I've got to applaud Tillman for what he did for investing in Atlantic City. If you look at what that was before as Trump Arena, and now he invested tons of money, over $100 million, well over that, and it's a great property. So you need people doing that. And again, I'm not saying you give them a handout. I'm not saying you give them public money, but you find a way to make fewer barriers and fewer costs for them to do business. Because if you just keep on raising the costs, you're going to have fewer people doing business, and that's that death spiral.
Dave Schwartz, thank you so much. Director, Center for Gaming Research, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Get his book, Boardwalk Playground, The Making, Unmaking, and Remaking of Atlantic City. Great book. Thanks, Dave, for being a part of the program today.
Thank you, Mel. I really appreciate the support.
WPGG Atlantic City, WSJO HD 2 and 3, Egg Harbor City.